Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, we are not a hockey show. But we have talked a lot of NHL hockey on today's show with Bill Riley, ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City, who talked about the Salt Lake City NHL team, the Coyotes, moving to Utah. We are also well aware that there's some hockey going on in the Portland metropolitan area, as the Portland Winterhawks and the Prince George Cougars will be mixing it up tonight in the WHL playoffs. This is Game 4. Pivotal game four in this series. 7 o'clock tonight, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. They're also going to be playing game five at Veterans Memorial Coliseum tomorrow night. As part of this, I think we'll have a little fun with this. Our street correspondent, Corey, the correspondent, former BFT intern, former associate producer, is going to join us.
When there's big news,
now hear this.
We hit the streets. Now welcome, the Bald-Faced Truth Street Correspondent.
See that? We are big time over here. We got a music bed even for Corey's appearance. Here he is, Correspondent Corey, joining us. Where are you right now?
I am at home currently. I'm going to be heading out to the game. I'm going to be leaving as soon. I had to get home from work and, you know, get changed and put on my hockey gear, and we're going to be heading out as soon as I get off the phone with you. So there's no Blazer game to compete with, so parking should be easy.
Give us an idea, because I know when you plunked down the money for season tickets, this wasn't something you always did. What caused you to jump into the hockey fray?
Well, I mean, I've always been a, you know, decent hockey guy. I mean, for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, I went to probably 5 to 6 games a year. You know, the teddy bear toss was always a big one, but I guess this year, I don't know why, it was just random. I just figured, you know, might as well get a discount on each game ticket because you're going to so many, and it worked out. This has just been a great year all around.
When you, decided to go, where do you sit at the games, and give us an idea of, you know, kind of the crowds you're seeing or the enthusiasm you're seeing in that building.
Well, definitely the weekends are a little bit heftier. We sit, or I and mostly it's my nephew and my dad, we sit behind the non-attacking. So we have Spoonar, the goalie, behind us 2 of the 3 periods. So we're just like right up in the corner. We're right by, like, when if you're at the arena, you'll see them doing all the in-game promotions with Ty, and we're about 15 feet from that stage. So just right behind the goalie, which I think is the best angle to watch hockey, is, you know, north to south as opposed to east to west, where you're just kind of not having the angles of where they're shooting the puck.
Correspondent Corey talking to us about the Winterhawks. They have a pivotal game 4 tonight at Memorial Coliseum. How has this series gone?
Well, first game went pretty horrible, actually, the worst loss of the year. We lost 5-0 up in Prince George, but then we bounced back and beat them at home, so we stole home ice. Then we did really well at our first game. At home, we scored 3 goals in the first 10 minutes and pretty much smoked them, which has been our MO for the whole year, is just coming out hot, win the first period, and then kind of rely on Spoonar to make sure that they don't score more than us. But, I mean, overall, like, they've got 2 really good goalies, probably the 2-3 best goalies in the league, actually. But one of theirs, he kind of fell apart in the first period last game, and the backup goalie is a draft pick for the Canucks, and so it's kind of tedious for them. It's like, do we go with the 17-year-old hot guy, or do we go with the 19-year-old proven guy? And it didn't really work out in the first game.
We're talking to correspondent Corey, former BFT intern and associate producer, who is now a diehard hockey fan. Puck drops at 7 o'clock tonight, Portland Winterhawks. Hey, there's some franchises and some fan bases that would get to this point of the season, Corey, and they'd go, no more on the bandwagon. We don't want you. But what's the feeling with Winterhawks fans? If people who've never been to a game before would show up tonight or show up tomorrow night to see this team play?
Oh, they are extremely welcoming, and they want all the people they can get. And, you know, I think once you get there and you realize that hockey is, I mean, by far the best live sport you can see, I think, you know, my mom, you know, she was like, yeah, you know, 7 o'clock hockey game, you know, she's approaching 70, and she went to the Teddy Bear Toss game this year, and then she was like, all right, I want to go to as many games as possible. Unfortunately, she backed out on this game early, and her ticket got taken really quickly. So overall, I think it's hockey is one of those sports that once you actually go to the arena and see it, and it's just so much easier to watch. I mean, it's just, you know, put the puck in the net, and that's it. I think it's just a great environment and a fun sport to watch.
The idea, you know, I know you watch college football, you're an NFL fan, you've been to a bunch of big sporting events. Would Portland make a great NHL city, or is it just okay? Is the winter, would that disrupt the sort of the beauty or the, I guess the innocence and the charm of the Winterhawks?
Hey, you know, that's a tough question, because I feel like, you know, I wouldn't feel bad for the Winterhawks if we got an NHL team, because, you know, I'd want to be playing on the highest level possible, because I feel like there were some Seattle Thunderbird fans. Like, I feel like their fan base is kind of retracted because so many have gone to Kraken games. But it's, I don't think that's anything I would ever complain about, the Winterhawks being, you know, second fiddle to a NHL team. I think an NHL team in Portland, especially since we already have the Moda and it's just built in, you know, just plug and play. We just get a team and we'll be able to, we don't have to build anything. I think that would be the best sport that we could expand to as far as the, you know, the major fives.
How's the Veterans Memorial Coliseum holding up?
Oh, great. It still looks awesome. I wish they would open up they have the shutters up in the top level. And I know, you know, hockey purists want it to be, you know, dark as possible. The only light should be on the ice. But I think when they open those up and then you can, you know, see the Moda, and then even if you're sitting up top, you can, you know, see the, you know, silhouette of the city. It's a great environment still. And they've, you know, they keep it in such good condition that, you know, even that the whole Rose Quarter just seems like it's a timeless, perfect little arena.
Corey, the correspondence, former BFT intern, associate producer. Yeah, how many years ago were you on the show? It, you know, because I try to think back, and it feels like it was a long week for me, and I know it was 17, 18 years.
It was the summer of 2008, and that was, yeah, and John Strong was my first boss, and then I still remember you came and picked me up at my apartment in Oregon State the morning of the USC-Oregon State football game when we beat them when they were number one.
That's
and
right.
I was helping you with the setup in the McMenamins.
That's
and I
right.
Was just, like, literally, I was just like, ah, you know, John, this is cool and everything, but I want to get to a tailgater and start enjoying the day. But, yeah, it's been 16 years now.
Were we doing a broadcast that day? Was there some kind of broadcast
yeah.
going on? Or?
Yeah, you were doing your show from a booth at the top of the McMenamins on Monroe on Oregon State's campus. And I just remember that the night before there was a Duck player that I think he got arrested for street racing, or he got a DUI, and that was like the major topic on the show. And I was like, yeah, perfect.
did your like foray into the season tickets Winterhawks, was it a little bit of an elixir because of what's happening at Oregon State? And are you turned off by college sports and you want to pour your energy into something else for a bit?
Well, it's actually, you know what? I went to two Beaver home games this year. I went to the UC Davis and the San Diego State game. I hadn't been to more than, you know, one or two a year, or actually one or two total over the last 6 years before that. So that wasn't really an issue. It was more the fact that I would normally go to probably 3 or 4 Blazer games a year, and I have zero interest in going to any sort of Blazer game at all. And that's been that way for six or seven years.
Yeah, I think it's you speak for a lot of people when you think about that. Is there talk about the Blazers at the Winterhawks games, or is it all focused on the Winterhawks?
No, just Winterhawks, just hockey. I mean, it's not like they're a different type of fan, but it's just more, you know, I always get the sense when I go to Blazer games and you're sitting a little bit closer, where it's like people just are there to be seen and kind of show themselves off almost. Like, hey, I'm part of the entertainment as well. Whereas hockey, it's just, you know, you're just there for the game, and you're behind the plastic, and you're there to enjoy the game.
Corey, the correspondent, give us kind of a scout on tonight's game. This, you know, people will say every game is pivotal, but, you know, when you've got a game 4 and certainly a game 5 in Portland, then two potential games, game 6s and 7 back at Prince George, it feels like these next two games are huge.
Yeah, I think just tonight's first period is just going to be the most contested period of the series so far, because we are known for coming out hot and they are known for coming out a little bit slow on the road. And I think if we can win the first period, if we have the lead after the second period, I think the series is over, especially, you know, we go up 3-1 and then we're playing at home tomorrow night again to end the series. We don't want to drive 13 hours back up to Prince George, because, you know, who would ever want to do that? And I think, it comes down to the goalies. And if their goalies play like they did in game 3, then series is over. I think we're going to take it. But if Spoonar has any type of issues, you know, if he lets, you know, a couple slides here and there in the first or second period, I think it could turn and, start leaning in their direction. But I'm hoping that we stay hot and come out hot in the first.
I just love how you say we, because I know that that means, but I know that that means as a fan that you feel like you're in it with them. And that's so unlike the Blazers fan base. They'll talk about the Blazers. They're not saying we. You know, and so what is it about the Winterhawks that makes the fans feel like, hey, it's us, it's we?
I kind of hate that too when people say we. It's like, you're not on the team, you're not doing anything, you're just cheering. I guess I use that term in more of the sense that, you know, if I was, you know, talking to a Prince George fan, being like, we versus you, you know, it's, but at the same time, you know, I think that the way that we rally behind the team, that we kind of give them that energy. And I you can tell, like, if, you know, you watch the first two games, the way they played in Prince George, even though they won the second game, they didn't have nearly the energy that they do when they play at home. And they come out hot. And I think that's the big difference in the series so far.
All right. Have a fun game, Corey. Appreciate you popping on. Corey Fulton, former BFT intern and associate producer, now a correspondent on the scene, headed over to the Winterhawks game 4 against Prince George. Give him hell over there.
Thanks, John. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. All he has to do now is paint his face and get his jersey on, and he's ready. Is it weird, Stephen, that I have no recollection of doing that broadcast 16 years ago?
No, because I forget things when I did earlier today, so I'm with you on this one.
I kind of have that thing where, like, if you ask me about the game, I can tell you all about it. I vaguely remember picking him up because he was working on the show. We were doing the broadcast, but why are we doing a broadcast? It must have been a game that was like a Thursday game or a Friday game. We must have done a broadcast. I don't know.
Well, I get the same thing, because, like, Coach Vaughn will be like, oh, what was the funniest moment that you guys had today? I'm like, I don't remember anything I said. Like, I just start talking. I don't remember what I said.
I relate to that. I think it keeps me on my toes as well. All right, well, let's take some phone calls on the Deion Sanders front. We've got some more people that want to weigh in. Roger's in Salem. Roger, what's on your mind? You've been holding a little while.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I agree with you regarding Deion and the way he handles rebuilding that roster. Colorado is kind of partly his stick in going public with it. The problem I have is you don't have to dehumanize and throw shade at 17, 18, 19-year-old young men. You just don't have to do that. Chris Peterson rebuilt a terrible Washington roster over a couple of years, and he never dehumanized or threw shade at anybody. And I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem. If Deion Sanders wants to be an entertainer, be an entertainer. If he wants to be a head coach, be a head coach. But I don't happen to believe, John, you can do both simultaneously.
Yeah, and I think there's an air of, I always look at a person like Deion. He's on stage. He's like Dave Chappelle, or he's like Bono from U2. He's got that standing in the sports world. He's on the stage. He has the attention of everybody that he needs to have the attention of. I don't see the purpose, and I think these things are linked. I don't see the purpose of throwing a recruit under the bus that you don't need, or going after somebody who's got 12 yards of passing or 22 yards of passing or whatever that poor guy has. Like, you are lowering yourself, and you look like a bully in the end. And so I think it's a bad look on both forms. And I think Deion Sanders is going to have a better year. They were 4-8. They went 1-8 after the 3-0 start. Oregon kind of exposed them, and then everybody else did afterwards. And Shedeur Sanders, you know, had a terrible time of things.
What do you make of it that, you know, Deion's whole thing is like, you know, family, and I'm trying to get you to your best spot, but then he's out there kind of trashing people. Does that, like, kind of go against, I don't want to say it doesn't make him like a phony, but does it kind of make him look a little bit of a phony, saying, you know, I care about all these kids, I want them to graduate, and then you're also just going to throw them off your team that you don't want them?
I just think if you didn't want the players, what's the point of talking about them and bashing them afterwards? You know, well, I don't get it. And maybe it's just backing Shedeur by going after the kid. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I don't see the purpose of it. And I have to think he's a busy guy. And so this is how he's using his time.
Yeah, it seems like he should be using his time in a better way than arguing with a below average FCS football player. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you going out there doing that? I think a lot of it is because of Shedeur, though. Like, Shedeur got involved with all of this, and I do think that he does have, you know, since it is his father, like, he's the father, like, I think he does have that in him where he's always going to go out and protect his son, and I think that's a good thing. But at the same time, like, you're just trashing this other kid for no reason. Like, he's not on your team. He's not in your conference. You're not going to play this guy. Like, who cares? Like, let it be.
Yeah, there's just an element of clapping back and, you know, trying to embarrass each other that, you know, I don't relate to, and I think most people see it as a bully act. Leave it here. We got some parting thoughts coming up.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.